You still need to get to the point where you and your wife are going to be living on your salary only. So how do we get there?
This show is dedicated to helping you strengthen your family tree and live financially free. Thank you for being here today, everybody. It is the first Monday of the month, my friends. That means we're answering a question from the marriage, kids, and money community. After that, we're highlighting our Money Master of the Week. And last but not least, we've got our FinTech Spotlight segment. This month, we're featuring Tomorrow, a Seattle-based company that's on a mission to help you protect your family from the unexpected. Those are the types of companies I like to associate myself with, my friends. Family-focused businesses that help you build wealth and protect your family. Now that I've given you the skinny on today's show, let's crack into it. Our question of the month comes in from Tyler from Livonia, Michigan.
Hey, Andy, it's Tyler from Livonia. First off, love what you're doing with the podcast and website. Some great, great stuff and insight here. So question that we had, my wife and I currently have a 15-month-old son. His name is Henry. And we love Henry very much, and we've been considering over the last 5 or 6 months going down to single income. My wife and I both work 9 to 5, and considering my wife staying home with him and really enjoying these formative years before he goes to school. So I was wondering if you had any steps or just general advice on, you know, looking at that process, budgeting for that process, really strategically planning for that process of going down to a single income. It's a scary thought at this point, but would love your insight on how you guys did it and what were your considerations. So thanks so much for the help and support.
Thanks for calling in, Tyler. First of all, congratulations on your first couple of years of being a dad. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that it's one of the most difficult and one of the most rewarding times of your life. Based on this voicemail and our email back and forth, I know that your heart is in the right place, in my humble opinion. You and your wife want to do what you feel is best for Henry, and you're willing to make some sacrifices to get there. You asked how Nicole and I made the transition to a single income, so I wanted to answer that part of your question first. Before Zoe was born, our now 6-year-old, Nicole and I talked about how we could make the transition from both of us working to just one of us working. We both agreed that it would take some time and it would not be an overnight thing. We were in the midst of paying off $50,000 of debt, and we were starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, so conversations like this one were seeming more real. Starting off, I had around $30,000 in student loans, and she had around $20,000 on a car loan. So once we were consumer debt free, once we made it through that tunnel, and we were consistently living on a monthly budget, Nicole was able to go part-time at her job, and that was sort of a little scaled version for us. And it was great because she worked at an incredible company that allowed her to do that. I know not everybody has that situation, so we were very lucky in that situation. Another great luck, another blessing that we had was that my mom and Nicole's mom and a little bit of daycare helped us take care of our little girl for the first 2 years of her life. And now that I'm saying this, I'm so thankful that we had our mom's help during that time in our lives, a very tough but important time to rely on family, and I really appreciated that for sure. And I know that's not something that everyone has the ability to take advantage of. So thanks, Mom. Thanks, Anna. Budgeting and savings automation was also a very important piece of this puzzle. We were solely living on my salary and saving up hers at this point, because we were practicing on what it would be like to just have that one single income. So everything was factored into our budget, and her salary was automatically saved each month. Automation took care of that for us. First, it was saved for our home down payment, the one that we were going to be buying in 2013. And then after we bought the home, We would take that money of her salary and throw it at the extra principal on our mortgage so we could pay it off early. And we were able to do that last year. So the plan worked. And then after Calvin was born in 2014, we went from the two salaries to just the one salary. And by this time, we were used to living on the one salary anyway because of this high savings rate we had. So that's how we did it. We got rid of all of our debt. We lived on a monthly budget. We practiced living on only my income. And then we went part-time first and then full-time stay-at-home momville. So now, for your situation, let's say that your wife, I don't know all the details, let's say that your wife doesn't have the option of going part-time. You still need to get to the point where you and your wife are going to be living on your salary only. So how do we get there? This, I'm trying to make this work for you, Tyler, as well as the other folks that are listening, maybe in a more generic sense. So let's talk about the steps of transitioning from two salaries to one to allow the stay-at-home mom situation to come to life. So number one, live on a monthly budget. And again, I'm going to be speaking from my experience here. You may not be into budgeting, but if you want to do something like this, I personally feel it's a must. You need to write down the numbers in whatever fashion you like. I'd recommend using a system like Mint or Tiller if you're into the spreadsheets. But Nicole and I have been using Mint for 6-7 years now, and we use it to track our spending and our saving, and that's what you would need to do, track your spending and saving going forward. This will help you achieve this major goal. This is a really big deal. Trying to transition from two salaries to one takes a lot of work and a lot of tracking, so live on that monthly budget. Number two, eliminate your debt. If you have debt, Tyler, make a plan to pay it off as soon as you can. I like the debt avalanche method. There's the snowball, there's the avalanche, there's another one called the debt hatred method, which I like. It's like, which debt do you freaking hate? And get rid of that one first. Get rid of that one first. I like the debt avalanche method. You have all of your debts, and then you sort of line them up with the largest interest rate first and eliminate that one first. So you're freeing up more cash quickly. Like, for example, if you've got some high interest credit card debt, pay those bad boys off first. And once you've paid off one of those debts, use that same intensity and the same cash to pay down the next one again and again and again until you're debt-free. So that's number two. Number three, trim back the unnecessary expenses. Tyler, if you're going to do something radical like this, it's going to take some sacrifice on your part. After you've done your budget and you're looking at those line items, decide what can be reduced or eliminated. Here are five areas that you can consider the trim back. Number one, gym memberships. I don't know, just consider it. If it's something you use a lot, you love it, you know, that's one thing. A lot of people join gyms and they don't go. So number one. Number two, your cable package or other entertainment subscription services. Think, you know, the bulk cable package with all the channels and the HBO and the Showtime, and you got the $200 bill. Is that something you can trim back? Nicole and I cut the cord, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, and we're down to $60 just for our internet, and we don't miss it at all. It's totally something you could take a look at. Other entertainment subscriptions, think like Audible, Hulu, Netflix, blah, 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 blah. There's, you know, they all add up now. So take a look at all those and see where you can cut back. Number three, going out for dinners, drinks, and work lunches. I know when Nicole and I were just married with no kids, we went out to dinners and drinks a lot. And when the kids came along, we did not go out as much, mostly because we just got to coordinate babysitters and things like that. But it's also a great way to save a little bit of money. Same thing with the work lunches. See if you can pack and save yourself some money there. The next one, groceries. Transitioning from an expensive grocery store like Whole Foods to looking at something like Aldi. And then lastly, vacations. Do you guys go on vacations a lot? Maybe take a look at that as one of your line items to cut back. If you're feeling like cutting back and budgeting is a lot of work, remember you're doing this so that your wife can stay at home with your son. It's a short-term sacrifice for long-term gain. Okay, so that was number three, trim back the unnecessary expenses. Number four, practice living on one salary. So as you're trimming and saving, you'll notice you have money left over each month. It's awesome, especially when that debt goes away. This is going to be great. Save all of it in a savings account so that you have a nice, big, chubby emergency fund of at least 3 months of expenses. This way, you're practicing living on one salary and saving up your dough for that rainy day, because it's gonna come. Number five, assess the benefits situation before your wife quits. You'll want to assess the benefits at your job. Will you be paying more for health insurance each month? How about dental? How about vision? You just want to factor in those extra costs into your budget as well. So make sure you take a look at the old benefits. Number six, I think I'm on. Yes, number six, increase your income. If you're still finding, Tyler, that it's going to be really difficult to cover your monthly expenses on just your salary alone, you might have to find other ways to make some money. At your job, have you been exceeding your goals lately and you think you're due for a raise? It is time to ask for it. This is the time. Be sure to list your accomplishments and your contributions to the company instead of just saying, I need some more money, man. Outside of your job, if getting more money is not an option, maybe consider a side hustle that makes you some money in the short term. Perhaps this is during the debt payoff period. Who knows, you might have a hobby that you love doing that could net you some extra money as well. For me, I like doing podcasts, as you guys can tell, and it's helping me to make a little bit of dough on the side. So that's number six. Number seven, you're ready for stay-at-home mom time. Once you're able to live on your income only, Tyler, your wife is set to leave her job. Obviously, she'll want to give plenty of notice to her employer and leave things in good standing, because who knows, she might want to go back to that job or just generally that industry soon, and she wants to leave a good impression before she goes. So make sure some of those things are buttoned up. Number eight, realize that being a stay-at-home mom is not a luxury. While staying at home with the kids is definitely a blessing for you and your wife, Tyler, it's not going to be easy. There will be many stressful days for your wife. Take it from me. It's not, yeah. Take time to love on her. Show her your appreciation. Give her a break every once in a while. Let her get out of the house, read a book, or just sit in pure silence for an hour. Whatever her relaxation thing is, support her with that. A book that I keep on recommending to the show is The Five Love Languages. If you haven't read it, read it. That way you'll know how to love on her correctly, because everybody has their own love language, and this book really made a difference for me and Nicole. I'd highly recommend it. And on occasion, I will admit I've been guilty of not appreciating my wife's sacrifice as a stay-at-home mom. The best way for me to truly understand what her life is like, her stay-at-home mom existence, is for me to stay at home with the kids, even just for a day without her. Lately, it's gotten a little bit more pleasant as the kids have grown, but when they were like 3 and 1 and I stayed home with them, oh, let's just say my stressful job seemed like a cakewalk. I hope this answers your question, Tyler. I want to go over those 8 points one more time. Number one, live on a monthly budget. Number two, eliminate your debt. Number three, trim back the unnecessary expenses. Number four, practice living on one salary. Number five, assess your benefits situation at work. Number six, increase your income if you need to. Number seven, prepare for being a stay-at-home mom. And then number eight, realize that being a stay-at-home mom is not a luxury. I hope these points are helpful, Tyler. Start by making a plan today and take some action. Now it's time to announce the Money Master of the Week. Matt from Northern California connected with me about partnering with his wife to pay off $40,000 in student loans in 4 years. Talk about a partnership and marriage. We just got off this great conversation with Tyler about partnering together in his marriage. So when I asked Matt about how he and his wife crushed these loans together, how they made this partnership come together, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that contributed to it. When we first got married, we were kind of navigating, you know, how to be married, how to merge our finances, how to kind of set a budget together. And it took a while for that stuff to kind of come together for us. But I would say what really sparked it is we went to Financial Peace University, which is Dave Ramsey's program, and we went to our church and did that there. And that really kickstarted the whole thing because it gave us the foundation of breaking it down into smaller steps. And so we could focus on one thing at a time. And that made it seem possible. And so the biggest key there was it gave us the motivation that paying off this debt was important, and we needed to do it quickly because it would open up options for us. And once we had that motivation, then the other pieces started to fall into place. We developed a written budget together and made a mint.com account so that we had visibility into all our different financial accounts, and then started tracking our expenses closely. And then it was just throwing every extra dollar we had towards this debt. And that's what really kickstarted the payoff and made it happen a lot faster.
Matt and I actually have a lot in common. I'm a big fan of Mint and Financial Peace University, too. That was big for when Nicole and I got together early in our marriage. When I asked Matt what this student debt freedom means to him and his wife, here's what he had to say.
Well, we're really excited that now we're going to have some extra cash flow coming in. Instead of having to throw it all at debt, we get to start to build for the future. So part of that is planning for a future family, starting to build up. We have an emergency fund, but we'd like to build that up bigger, throwing more money at investments. One of our favorite things to do together is travel and experience new places. So we've been able to take some trips throughout this debt payoff, but taking more trips is definitely on the list. So just it has opened up a whole bunch of options, and it's taken a huge burden off of our shoulders. And it's a very freeing feeling. And even though there wasn't confetti and a parade when the last payment went through, it feels different because that kind of burden in the back of my mind isn't there anymore. And it's been very freeing to have that gone.
When I asked Matt to inspire and motivate others who might be listening to the show who also have truckloads of student debt, Matt left us with these words of wisdom.
So my advice to people that are in the same situation are that you can do it too. I don't consider my story super unique or crazy. I feel like just a regular guy, and we just made small, consistent progress over time as a team. And so if we can do it, you know, you can do it too. What really made the difference for us was having that teamwork. So I'd encourage you to find a partner or a friend to come alongside you to help you when the times get tough. But also really just set a goal and set a why for why you're doing all this. And for us, our why was we wanted to pay these loans off quickly so that we'd have more options and we had more freedom. And so when you have someone on your side, when you have that motivation and when you have that why, it really, you know, helps you in those months when you're trying to be patient and the balance isn't going down as fast as you want. Those components really help motivate you to keep going.
You can follow Matt and get some excellent personal finance advice at spillspot.com. That's SPILLSSPOT.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your student debt crushing story with us, and congratulations for being our Money Master of the Week. Do you have a recent financial victory that you want to share on the show? I would love to hear from you. I love promoting these great stories. It really helps get me all jacked up, and that it also inspires other people listening to the show. So please email me at andy@marriagekidsandmoney.com or leave me a voicemail at marriagekidsandmoney.com/voicemail. For our FinTech Spotlight segment this month, we are featuring a new tech company called Tomorrow. Over the last month or so, you've probably heard that name a few times as they're a sponsor of the show, so not too much of a surprise that we're hearing from them today. So I've asked Tomorrow's CEO and founder, Dave Hanley, to join me on the show to discuss how the company came together, why having these important life documents like your will, your trust, and life insurance are so important, and then how Tomorrow comes into the picture and helps the process a little easier for everybody. Dave is a serial entrepreneur, having partnered with and founded several tech and social media-based companies. He's a social advocate as a young global leader with the World Economic Forum, and he uses his expertise in social media to support important causes in war-torn countries like Syria. And last but not least, he's a proud father of four children. Welcome to the show, Dave.
It's great to be with you, Andy.
So why did you guys decide to start Tomorrow? Or why? What was the impetus of starting this company?
Well, it began first with wanting to put together my original was in financial inclusion, working with banks and NGOs that were implementing microcredit programs in developing countries, together with my whole digital career that I've done over the last 10 years. And through that, was inspired by all of the young people that I had brought together for my last company. And after we sold that company to a large consulting firm, everyone started getting married and having babies. And I realized that all these really smart, talented, busy parents weren't taking the time to sit down and set up a will to have guardianship for their kids or get life insurance. And I realized, wow, this seems like a big problem. And then when I looked at the data, I saw, wow, this is a huge societal problem and one that I really wanted to tackle.
Wow. And what are some of the shocking statistics that you've seen with regard to, you know, taking care of your family with these important life documents and missions?
Well, if you're in the U.S., 80% of people under 45 don't have a will in place. So these are the primary parents of young children, don't have a plan in place if anything happens to their parents. And of course, in the U.S., the majority of those are raised by single parents. And so in that case, the state actually decides where your kids are going to go. And that's certainly not good enough for me. And I don't think it's good enough for any other parent.
Yeah, absolutely. So the company's mission is focused on solving this major problem with busy yet successful, or just, I guess, everybody really in America, making sure that everybody's protecting their families the right way. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we may avoid making some of these plans, like buying life insurance, which is very affordable and is now easier to buy thanks to the internet. We still don't think about it, and we need a little help along the way to understand it as we go about doing it. And so we decided to set up a company that was focused around family financial wellness, and that's Tomorrow.
Oh, that is right up my alley. Perfect. All right. Well, let's break down these three main areas that you guys focus on with this simple to use app that I've actually had some time to play with, and kudos on just the. I guess the format, when you're on there, it's very easy to navigate and it's all at your fingertips. So I'm really enjoying it. Let's start with the will process. Why does somebody need a will? You touched on it a little bit there with regard to taking care of your family. But, you know, why does somebody need one? And I guess who are they really for when we talk about the overall population of the U.S.?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, a will is a document, relatively simple document, that outlines, you know, who's going to get your property, and who's going to take care of your children, and it's something that, you know, effectively, as you move through life, that's going to change. So if you're a single person, you're going to want to make sure that you know, if you're single, you're not in any kind of relationship. In most states, your assets will just go to your parents. And maybe you don't need a will at that case, although it's always good to have things be clear, especially in a world of maybe complicated family structures. But if you have a, say, a girlfriend girlfriend or a boyfriend, you've been in a relationship for a while, if anything happens to you, that person has no rights to make decisions or any rights to your assets. So actually even having a will when you're in your 20s to look after the people who you love, including friends and significant others, is actually very important. Then when you become married or become a parent, the need to both make sure that that your property, your assets, your money goes where you want it to go is incredibly important. And I think some people say, well, I don't really have a lot of assets, especially if you have kids, you have a lot more future liabilities than you do assets. And that's why we brought actually life insurance into the picture at the same time, because they're so very related.
So with a will, you know, there's always a, I guess, a mystery around it, some complications, and you feel like you need to grab a lawyer to be a part of this process. Do you need a lawyer in order to get a will, or what situations is it required to have that type of legal counsel?
So, you know, it's always, if you have a chance, if you have the money and the time to sit down with a lawyer, it can be a great idea. But in really, tomorrow meets the needs of 95% of Americans. There's a few cases when you definitely should sit with a lawyer. One is if you have a special needs child who receives state benefits. It's important to make sure that you set up a specific kind of trust that makes sure that they're not going to lose those benefits. And then if your assets, if you start to move into the tens of millions of dollars of assets, you need to start thinking about estate tax strategies. And in a couple of U.S. states, that number is actually much lower, you know, 2 to 4 million. And the app, the Tomorrow app, actually helps you know if you're going to start crossing one of those thresholds.
So the majority of folks utilizing your app can get what they need with a will in a simple, easy-to-use format. And then as you're getting to one of these other situations, based on including your information, you'll make suggestions on whether, you know, consulting with a lawyer makes sense.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, well, that's great. And so let's talk about the trust part of it. I understand from those shocking statistics that you were talking about, 95% of Americans have no trust established. Why do so many people not have one?
You know, we actually surveyed 1,000 Americans to understand this better. And what we came back with is that, you know, people believe that trusts are only for the wealthy, because they think of trust funds and trust fund babies. But really, that a trust is the only document that can actually take care of your family over time. A will is a document that basically processes everything at the end of your life and stashes money wherever you choose for it to go. But if you have minor children and you don't want to, say, dump all that money on them on their 18th birthday, or if you have, you know, other plans in mind for your family, then a trust really is the document for you. And so in Tomorrow, we actually have an extremely robust trust that allows you to take care of your family across time and have a trustee that helps make the decisions about taking care of the health, education, maintenance, support of your dependents throughout their lives or until they're, you know, well into adulthood.
And I understand if a trust is not set up, sometimes it has to go to probate court. Is that right?
So, yes. So a trust that is set up, and then there's also a process of funding a trust, which we will teach you about inside the app, where basically it'll have your name, maybe your wife's name, and then your and your wife family trust is sort of the third person on an account. Mm-hmm. When you do that, then those assets actually skip probate completely. They don't go through probate court. It can greatly reduce your costs of probate, which in some states, like the state of California, is very expensive. So that's certainly very helpful. Also, probate is actually makes your assets and your decisions part of the public record. So if you value privacy, placing all of your decisions inside of the trust is incredibly important.
Sounds like there's lots of benefits to having one. So hopefully the 95% of Americans listening to this will take advantage of it. So the last piece of the puzzle that you guys have is the life insurance side of things. You know, a lot of people have questions on just when do they actually need life insurance? When is that suggested for folks?
So the life insurance in different amounts makes sense at different, different phases. If you're young and you have student loans that perhaps your parents co-signed on, they may be left, unfortunately, having to pay your student loans if anything happens to you. So taking out a small policy, at least to cover those, could be very important. Or to provide for a transition for a significant other or for a spouse. As you start to have kids, taking care of their livelihood, until they're of age and adults, and their college education is where the real needs for life insurance really increases. And so you'll see tomorrow, because you've done your will with us, we're actually going to take into account the ages of your kids and your income and make a recommendation for how much life insurance you're going to need. And so we kind of take some of the guessing out of that. But really, it's something that we'll tell you if you don't need it. But in many cases, you'll need even a small policy.
Excellent. And then the type of insurance that's offered, how does that break down? You hear the terms about term life insurance, whole life, permanent. What type of insurance are you guys providing through the app?
So through the app, we only offer term life insurance, which we feel is most important for people who are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, who are really looking to provide this gap between what they actually have in the bank and what the future needs of their families would be if something happens. Term life insurance is very affordable. So a $250,000 policy, if you're in, say, your 30s, may cost you as little as $13 a month. And so most Americans believe that it costs 3 to 4 times more than that. And so it's a chance to get people into a product they can afford that's going to meet their needs. Other products meet really great other needs around, handling, tax optimization and wealth transfer, which is, really more appropriate as you're starting to, grow older and have more assets to consider.
Okay. So $13 a month. So pretty much for my Netflix subscription, I could be protecting my family.
You could. And you should.
And I should. Good. Okay. Well, cool. Let's talk about the will process. So let's say I'm interested and I want to go check out the will feature. So how does that work? I go into the app, I download it, and then what do I do?
Well, we're just going to ask you a couple of questions about yourself, like where you live and do you have a family? And then you one of the first things you do is actually invite your significant other, your girlfriend, fiance, spouse, to the app, and then basically saying, hey, I'm using this app to get my act together. Will you do this with me? And together you add children, you add assets, you add and you make decisions together inside of the app. And then we teach you what an executor does, or the person who's in charge of bringing your will to life, and teach you what a guardian does. And then you start typing in the name of someone on your phone. So I might type in Andy Hill, and I choose you from my contacts, and it adds you to my document as a guardian for my kids, and tees up a text message to you that says, hey, Andy, I'm using this app tomorrow to plan for my family, and part of that is choosing guardians for Mia and Max, and I think you'd make a great guardian. Here's what's involved, which would be up for it. And then you can click, watch a video, learn what a guardian does, and make a thoughtful decision about whether or not you'd want to do that.
That's cool. I was just going to say, what an epic text message to receive, huh? I want you to be the guardian of my children.
it's interesting that now that more and more people have come into tomorrow through this invitation feature, more and more people are using it. So now almost half of people are actually sending that text message, and everyone else is getting on the phone or unfortunately doing what most people do with wills, which is never telling you that they've asked you to do this.
That's incredible. You guys are taking an archaic process and bringing it into the future. I love it. This is great. So the trust. So when I go into that, obviously the will, being a part of the Tomorrow app, I understand that is that's a free process, right? The will?
Yes. Yeah, so the will is free. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to get the trust, then it's an easy upgrade for $99 inside the app. And you can just make that decision and upgrade at any time if you would like.
Excellent. And then, life changes. Things dynamically update. I've got more kids or I've got more assets. How does that play into the picture when I've got all my information into the Tomorrow app?
So you, at any time you can, you know, of course, add new family members and change people's roles from a fiance to a spouse or adding more children. Also, it's very common to want to actually change guardians, executors. You know, if your one sister moves to another state, you may want to actually have your local sister actually be the one who is going to be the guardian for your children. And so you simply drag and drop those two and swap the order and then print out the new document and sign it.
Excellent. Well, I love it. And the insurance side of things, you know, people are constantly hearing about different insurance providers that are out there. You know, every time you turn on the TV or you go online, you're hit with an ad, right? So why should our listeners today consider Tomorrow for their life insurance option?
Yeah, so we brought together 10 of the top insurance carriers in the industry, all of whom are extremely highly rated, have been around for quite a while. And that allows you to, you know, choose the lowest cost great option that you like from among multiple options and then buy it right there. So these are, you know, brands you've heard of, AIG, Prudential, Protective, Mutual of Omaha, and so forth. So we simply are taking, we're using a very complicated 26-point pricing model to make sure that you're in the cheapest possible options, and then you can choose.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you have it all in one place because, you know, the feature that I like the most is that, you know, you're taking it away from the cumbersome paper process and putting it into an app, something that we all use every day, and having the dynamic change feature of, you know, my fiance is now my wife, or I'd like to change my guardian easily. And having it all in an app makes it pretty simple and easy. Obviously, we're providing a lot of information through this app. How do you guys handle the security side of things to ensure our data is safe and secure?
We use bank-level security protocols. So both the security on the back end and on the front end. That we can go into the details, which are on our website, but we basically use the same protocols that you do when you're logging into your bank. We also encrypt a lot of the data that sits on your phone, and it never actually travels to our servers. So all health data doesn't actually sit on our servers and will only go to a life insurance carrier at the moment that you click submit on your application.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like a great option for people to consider. Everybody, I've had a chance to download this app. It is simple, very user-friendly, and if you want to check it out and support this show, go to tomorrow.me/Andy. That's tomorrow.me/Andy, and you'll get that opportunity to get your free will today. So, Dave, thank you so much for joining us today to chat about Tomorrow, and look forward to talking with you soon.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Andy.
You'll find all the links and resources for today's show at marriagekidsandmoney.com/session76. This month on the show, we have a superb lineup of guests. I can honestly say that I learned quite a bit from each of these financial gurus, and I know that you will too. Next week, the founder of FamZoo, Bill Dwight, joins me to discuss how we can raise financially savvy kids. That is right up my alley. The week after, Deacon Hayes, the author of the new book, You Can Retire Early, chats with us about, you guessed it, how we can retire early. The following Monday, we'll be hearing from Joe Salcihi from Stacking Benjamins. We'll be talking about the ins and outs of partnering with a financial advisor. And at the end of the month, I'm interviewing John from ESI Money about how we can earn, save, and invest our way to becoming a millionaire. I'm predicting April to be one of our best months ever on this show. If you're not already subscribed to this Family Empowering Podcast, please do so today. Thanks for listening. In the spirit of growth and inspiration, I'm going to end the show with a quote today from Mitch Albom. Sacrifice is part of life. It's supposed to be. It's not something to regret. It's something to aspire to. For the betterment of our families, everyone, carpe diem.